Good job. We ought to all, and I don't know, I mean, I don't know if every adult here today is able to recite that or not, but there are some things. I agree wholeheartedly with Sister Shuffit that there are some things that we need to commit to memory. God gave us the ability in creating us to remember things. And, you know, Paul spoke to Timothy in his writings about committing things to his memory because there may be things befall us right in the middle of the day that you may not have your Bible in your hand, and we need to be able to recall those things that comfort us. And so I appreciate her working with the class in that way, and I appreciate the hard work that they put in it, and I hope that they will just learn more and more about the Word of God. I want to call your attention to a small book in the Old Testament for a scripture reading today, a book that consists of three chapters. So if you would, please turn to the book of Joel. And I want to read some scripture beginning with verse 28 of the second chapter of Joel. Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." And I will stop my reading there with the conclusion of the second chapter of Joel. Now, I want to use a title today for the message, and that being God's Promise to Lost Souls. You know, the Lord has made many promises to His people, and the Bible speaks about God's promises being exceeding great and precious promises. There are promises that were made to the nation of Israel that I believe God intended them to carry on to the church. Promises that He made in the Old Testament that were also to His church. But God has certainly made a great promise to all of those who are lost. And I want to speak about that today, about God's promise to lost souls. Now, in the book of Joel, the book of Joel was written somewhere around 800 B.C., somewhere in the area of about 800 years before the coming of Christ. And so when we look at what was being said here in the second chapter, and you can go back and study the book of Joel, and you will see that Israel, they had experienced the Bible speaks about it having been an army of locusts. locusts and caterpillars and the cankerworm had come and they had destroyed the farmland in much of Israel. And Joel looked at this destruction by all of these different types of insects as being a judgment from God upon Israel because of their sins. And the book of Joel is really, I believe, has a lot to do with revival. You know, when we see revival, and if we're going to see real, true, heaven-sent revival, I believe there are some things that we have to turn from in order to see that. There is some repentance that is necessary. I believe that repentance precedes the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon His people. And so Joel was urging the Israelites to come to God, to repent, to turn from their wickedness. And as I said, he considered this destruction by the locusts to be a judgment upon them from God. And in the verses here that we have read, beginning with verse 28, he begins to speak about something that will come to pass. And it shall come to pass afterward, after this, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he spoke about the fact that it would come to pass that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And we could look at, and I believe that we have in this, we have a beautiful emblem here of how that the all of the Scripture works together. You know, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. And so we see, I believe, here in what was written in the book of Joel some 800 years or so before the time that Christ came into the world, and we see how that these things were fulfilled in the days after that Christ had come, in the days after that the Lord had set up His church. And so we see the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, working so much in harmony with these things. So we could look at the book of Joel that was written in what we know as to have been Old Testament times. And we could look at this passage and we could say, what was Joel saying when he made the statement that it would come to pass that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be delivered? And he used the word delivered. And we could ask the question, what was he talking about? What type of deliverance was he alluding to? What were they, those that call upon the name of the Lord, what were they going to be delivered from? Was it going to be a physical deliverance? Was he merely talking about a physical deliverance from the locust and the cankerworms and the caterpillars? Was he merely saying that if you call upon the name of the Lord, that God will drive them away and He will restore your crops, He will restore your farmland that has been eaten up by these worms? Or just what was God saying? Well, the New Testament makes it very plain to us what Joel was saying when he said that it would come to pass that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Now, I want to ask the church today to pray for the message. The burden of my heart today is to be able to, by the help of God, to help those that are here today that are lost and undone. Because, friend, you need to be saved. You need to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. You are living in a wicked world. You are living in a dangerous world. You are living a life that has no promise of tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be alive tomorrow or not. We don't know if the human race will even be occupying the earth tomorrow. So you need to be saved. We're talking about something here that is eternal. We're not talking about today about how well you may fare next week financially, or how well you may be doing in school next week. I want to talk to you today about the eternal, immortal welfare of your soul, where you're going to spend eternity. We are all, you know, I realize today that, and every time that I stand and preach before a congregation of people, I'm not only preaching to people that are passing through time, I'm preaching today to an eternal bound people. We're bound for eternity, friends. We are bound to live one day beyond this world. We are going to live in an eternal realm just as sure as we are living today in the realm of time. So I want to ask you today, church, to please pray for those who are lost. It is my burden from the Lord today to try, by the help of God, to say something that would be helpful to you. And I must say this, that, you know, after just a couple of weeks ago, I passed my 28th year of preaching. And I can say this honestly, that after 28 years of trying to preach the gospel, after countless hours of studying the scripture, that I might be able to try to preach the gospel, after about 20 years of serving churches in pastoral work, I say today before you with all honesty that I don't know how to tell you to be saved. I don't know how to tell you to find the Lord. What I do know and what I can tell you is what you must do in order to be saved. But how to accomplish that is between you and God. And it is. You know, when I went to the Lord seeking Him, that was between me and Him. And there was nobody that could look at my heart, and there was nobody that could say, do this or do that. You know, we can share with each other our experiences, and we can tell people what thus saith the Lord that you must do in order to be saved. But you are going to have to come to God on your own. And it's going to be between you and Him. And there's something else that I can't tell you. And there's something else that nobody else here today can tell you, that no other person can tell you. And don't you ever let anybody convince you that they can. There's nobody here today that can tell you when you get it or whether you haven't. Nobody here today can see your heart. I agree with what Brother Wheat said in the Sunday school this morning. I've made it publicly known. I detest those who call themselves evangelists or preachers or whatever they call themselves that stand before people and tell them, well, since you've done this, then you're saved. I can tell you today that you must repent of your sins in order to be saved. The Bible makes it very plain to us. It says that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. I can tell you today that you must trust in the Lord with all your being in order to be saved. The Bible teaches us that very, very plainly, that we must repent of our sins and we must trust the Lord with unfeigned faith. Unhindered faith in order to be saved. But when or whether or not that takes place in your heart, I can't say. Only God knows that. And God will let you know that. And so we find in this that there was a promise made. A whosoever promise. And I love and I'm thankful for God's whosoever will plan of salvation, aren't you? Aren't you glad that God didn't exclude anybody from His plan of salvation? Aren't you thankful today that you didn't have to have a lot of money in order to find favor with God? Aren't you thankful today that you didn't have to be living a certain status in life in order to find favor with God? the Lord invites everybody to come to Him and seek Him to be saved, no matter what color you are, no matter what culture you're from, no matter what your financial status is, whether you're rich or poor. The Lord made a plan of salvation for everybody to be saved. He didn't exclude anybody from it. Whosoever, that's the promise that was given. And so when I get back to the question that I was asking about, what was Joel talking about? What was this deliverance that he was talking about, that whosoever would call upon the Lord would have it, would be delivered? What was he making reference to? And we'll let the Apostle Peter answer the question. Because if we look ahead that 800 years, if we look ahead into the New Testament writings, on the day of Pentecost, the church had come together there, and Jews from every nation under heaven had come, and they were assembled there, and there was a great miracle that took place that day, in that everybody was hearing the gospel preached in their own language. And the people that were observing that noted that indeed that a great thing was happening. And so there were some that were skeptics. There's always skeptics. There's always people that don't want to believe in the things of God. And there were skeptics there on that day. And so when they saw what was happening, they began to accuse those people of getting into the wine. They began to say, you know, the reason these people are acting this way and the reason this thing, these things are happening is because these men are full of wine. Well, I can assure you of this. There was some intoxication taking place that day. There was some drunkenness taking place that day. But they were not intoxicated with wine. Their bodies were not inebriated. They were not drunk in their bodies, but they were intoxicated in the Spirit of God. And so the Apostle Peter, when these things begin to be said and when these accusations begin to be made, he said, listen, these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Peter saw that as the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. This is what Joel was talking about that 800 some years ago, back in Old Testament times, when the land of Israel was devoured by the locust, and God made a promise there through the prophet Joel that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. This is what he was talking about. This is the fulfillment. What you are seeing here before you today, what you are seeing happening here on this great day of Pentecost, these people having the Spirit of God poured out upon them, and every man hearing the gospel in their own native tongue, this is what Joel was talking about 8 centuries ago. That God would pour out His Spirit upon His people. And he reiterated the promise there in the second chapter of Acts, you can read it, that Peter brought again before their attention, that promise that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Now, to me, that proves conclusively that what Joel was talking about was more than a physical deliverance. It was more than that. It was more than just a hope of them having their lands restored, their crops restored. He was talking about something that man can experience in their soul if they will call upon the name of the Lord. And I want to... you know, if we go on into the 10th chapter of Romans, we find the Apostle Paul making this same statement in Romans 10:13. He said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, Listen, if you are here today and you are lost, if you've not been born again by the Spirit of God, that is God's promise to those who are lost, that if they will call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. That's God's promise. I want to talk a little bit about what that means. I hope that the things that I have to say today, that God will help me to clarify them. I don't want to discourage anybody. But I want to say this today to you that are lost, no matter what you have done, no matter what you may feel like that you have done up to this point, the truth is, you know, the bottom line, you know, you always hear somebody say, well, let's hear the bottom line. What's it really come down to? Well, listen, friend, the truth is, if you are lost and without God, if you have not been saved by God's grace, it doesn't make any difference what you have done. You have not called upon the name of the Lord. You have not repented of your sins. You have not trusted the Lord for salvation. And until you do, you're not going to have it. We all, you know, we have our testimonies. You will, if you listen to them, you will hear things, you will hear different details in every one of them. But I assure you today, if you're here today and you're not saved, I assure you of this today, that when you hear those of us who have been saved tell our testimonies, I promise you today that everybody that has been truly saved by God's grace, we all got it the same way, didn't we, Brother Lowe? We didn't get it by, one of us didn't get it by one plan and another by another plan. No matter how our own unique experience played out, we all got salvation by calling upon the name of the Lord. Brother Doss has testified to us many times about his fence row experience. But you know something, and I want to make this plain before you today. And I know that Brother Doss would back me up on this in a heartbeat. Brother Doss did not find the Lord because he knelt in a fence row. He did not find the Lord because he climbed over the fence. He found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ because he repented of his sins and he trusted the Lord and he called upon the name of the Lord. And we've heard Sister Treva Thompson tell about her experience of salvation, you know, being saved, stretched out on her bed. But let me tell you something, that bed didn't have anything to do with her salvation. It wasn't because she stretched across a bed that she got saved. It's because she repented of her sins and called upon the name of the Lord and trusted Him for the salvation of her soul. And Brother Lowe's experience there on the scaffold. Listen, these places that we find the Lord and we hear Brother Strode sing about the spot, and what a beautiful song it is, and how we get stirred when we think about that place where the Lord saved us. But listen, it wasn't the place that saved us. It was the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And if you're going to get it, you're going to get it the same way. And I want to say this to you here today that are lost. And I want you to, as I said, I want you to please understand what I'm saying. I don't want to discourage you in any way. But, you know, we have the mourner's benches here. And you are more than welcome. We make the statement that they're always open. And you are more than welcome to use them anytime that you will. But I want to tell you this, that coming to a mourner's bench will not save you. It will not save your soul. And the church never intended for that to be believed. We have them here for convenience. And you may say, well, you know, what about God's promise, preacher? You know, I've been coming to the mourner's bench and I've been praying and I've been calling upon the name of the Lord. And the only thing that I know to say to you to try to help you is no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Because whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible tells me in Psalm 34 and 18 that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And we can question, you can question yourself, and we can ourselves can question what's happening, and we can say, well, what about the fact that we have people that, you know, have come here and have bowed week after week and time after time, and they haven't been saved? What's going on with that? And you know, I believe the answer for that lies right within the bounds of God's holy word. The truth of the matter is, friend, is you have not repented of your sins. You've not trusted the Lord for salvation. You know, the way of salvation is the same for everybody. And it's the same no matter what that we have done. You know, there was a time for me too in my life when I went up in a church service and knelt at a mourner's bench. And I stood there for a while and I prayed. I stayed there for a while and I prayed there for a while. And I went away and I wasn't saved. But the reason that I wasn't saved is because I hadn't called upon the name of the Lord. I hadn't trusted the Lord. I hadn't repented of my sins. There was a time just a few years later, one night in a little apartment that I lived in, that I did that. I called upon the name of the Lord with all my heart. I trusted him with all my heart. I repented of my sins before the Lord, and God made good in my soul upon his promise, and he saved me by his grace. God made his promise to those who would truly call upon his name. Well, how do we do that, preacher? That's between you and the Lord. That's between you and God. I've seen people, I've heard all types of salvation experiences related. I've seen people get saved in all different types of bodily positions. I've heard of people getting saved in all different types of places. I know a man, I think I told you this before, I know a man in Indiana that during his military years, he got saved way down below the sea in a submarine. It was where he found the Lord. Isn't it good that God knows no limits to where he can go? David said, if I ascend up to heaven, God's there. If I depart to the uttermost part of the sea, God's there. There's no place that you can go that God won't be there. You can find God wherever that you're at. You can be saved on a mourner's bench. You can be saved in a fence row. You can be saved in a submarine. You can be saved sitting in your car. You can be saved sitting on a pew. God can save you anywhere that you're at, but God never saves anybody until they call upon the name of the Lord. And I mean really call. Paul said in Romans 10:10 that it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. This body can do things over and over, but you can't find him with just a submission of the body. It's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. And it's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. And I will say this, and I believe it with all my heart, that no matter where you're at, no matter where you're going, you know, I was down on my knees down, had my hands up on my face, and I was down on my knees when I got saved. But you know what? I don't believe my bodily position had a thing to do with me getting saved. I believe everything that happened, happened in my innermost being, happened in my heart, in my soul. That's where we make contact with God. That's where we reach out to God. The Bible didn't tell us that whoever has a kneeled body finds the Lord. It didn't say whoever is in a certain bodily position is saved. It says that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. And that word contrite means bruised. It means crushed. I'll tell you what, listen, I have said this before, and I know the church here believes that, and I hope that all of you that are lost will believe that. But listen, before anybody ever gets saved, they are crushed before God. They're concerned before God. When I got saved, and this one thing that I know about it, when I got saved, I wanted to be saved more than I wanted to live. I wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. I wanted God's salvation. I know, again, you can ask the question, well, how do I get to that point, preacher? Well, that's between you and the Lord. I can tell you what you must do in order to be saved. We notice in the scriptures when that question was asked, what must I do to be saved? And it was asked on several occasions. It was asked by the people there on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what must we do? It was asked by the Philippian jailer there. What must I do to be saved? And the instruction was given to them. Well, you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was where they left it. We don't have examples of anybody showing anybody else how to do that, do we? But I'll tell you what, God, if you'll trust Him, God will answer all the questions for you. He'll give you everything that you need. Because it's already been said in the service this morning, God grants repentance. God grants faith. I believe that they are graces. I believe that repentance and faith are grace. I don't believe that any of us have the ability within ourselves to repent to God's satisfaction and to trust God to His satisfaction. It requires God's grace in order for us to do that. What can a sinner do to be saved? They can come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Come seeking as you are. But you know this, please, know this and remember this. God made a promise that whosoever would call upon His name would be saved. If you haven't been saved, then you have not met the conditions of the gospel. And you need God's help in order to do that. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in anything about you. Don't trust in a place. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah put that in that statement and made it very plain that salvation is of the Lord. It's not of man. It's not upon based upon what we do. Salvation is the Lord's to grant. And He knows, God knows how to save. He knows exactly how to save. So you need to trust the Lord. You need to trust in Him to give you what it is that you stand in need of. But you remember God's promise to all the lost, that whoever, God's no respecter of persons, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Brother Ronnie, if you would, let's have a song.